Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about some new comic books that came out this week. Today, if you're listening to it on Wednesday. So, spoiler alert.
Oh, boy. Man.
Oh, real spoiler alert going on here. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about three comic books, as I mentioned. Batman number 33, Thor number 700, and Descender. Is that the name of it? Yeah. Oh, see, I read December.
Oh, man.
So if you want to know what happens from December 1st through 31st of this year, spoiler alert, Christmas and New Year's, that's how it ends. I don't know what it's been a long day, Pete.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, very long day. But you know what's even longer? Comic books.
So let's I don't think they're that long.
I don't know. Let's talk about Thor number 700,
okay,
which
you
is
start with the long.
Yeah,
one.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to do a segue, and then I did a segue. So Thor number 700. This is the renumbering of the book for those of you who are out of Marvel. They are going back to their legacy numbering, as appropriately part of the Marvel Legacy event. And some of the numbering worked out really nicely in the case of Thor 700.
It's almost like they planned it like that.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm sure it was just a coincidence. So this is so. Jason Aaron has been writing this book for a good long while, building
Killing
up
this book.
So many storylines. Russell Dodderman has been doing the art, and this issue, Russell is joined, I can call him Russell, we're really good friends, cool, by an all-star roster of artists, kicking off with Walt Simonson doing the first page, which
book
is amazing.
You should buy just for the art alone. Also, the paneling is amazing. It looked like Marvel really did some amazing creative stuff with this book, took his time, thought about it, and really placed it in such a creative, fun way. And it's a hell of a read, man. It ties in everything.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So the idea, if you haven't been reading Thor so far, is Jane Foster. I'm sorry. Jane Foster is the new Thor.
And she's not really new anymore. She's probably the best Thor.
Do you think so?
She's my favorite Thor.
Wow. What makes her your favorite?
Because she's so vulnerable and yet so powerful. I like that.
It addresses a problem a lot of people have with Thor, or it gets back to, I guess, the original idea of Thor, that you had Donald Blake was this lame doctor, not lame like an asshole, like a jerk, but who could turn into the mighty Thor, and we've been missing that for a while. We've kind of just had God adventures, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
Jane has cancer. She has terminal cancer. Every time that she uses Mjolnir to become Thor, it resets her in her treatment. So she's slowly heading towards death almost no matter what, but she's compelled to be a hero because she wants to help people. She wants to save people. It's wonderful.
So amazing. And also what's great about having a woman Thor is there's been issues when she realizes fighting isn't the option here. This is what we do. And then she'll turn into Jane and solve the problem that way. And I love it. I just like the versatility of this new Thor. And just because at their core, that's what heroes are. They give everything for us. They sacrifice themselves, their lives, their loved ones. And this is just a great kind of a encapsulation of that, if you will.
It reminds me a lot of when Bucky took over Cap. And to me, that felt like the best version of Cap I had ever read, for a very similar reason, where you could just understand him more. He was more sympathetic. You could connect with him. When he triumphed, it was that much bigger versus
there was a struggle with being
exactly
there.
Versus Steve Rogers, who often comes off as this do-gooder across the board. Granted, now he's a Nazi, and that's pretty cool.
That's not true.
I don't know. I think he is.
No,
he's not?
No.
Oh, okay.
There is an evil version of himself. A lot of us have evil version of ourselves.
Oh, so you're also a Nazi.
What the fuck? No, you took a big jump there.
I'm just saying
there's an evil P. LePage out and everybody should be careful.
Oh, my God. Who are you then?
No, I'm the good one. Obviously.
You're the good one?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't want to be that other guy.
Oh, he's creepy.
Cool. So anyway, back to Thor 700. This is a culmination. Actually, it's not even a culmination. It's bringing together a bunch of different storylines for the past issues that Jason Aaron has been writing and sets up the storyline for a long while to go. I thought this kicks off the Death of Thor storyline. It's called The Death of Thor. But without too much getting into spoilers, it's very much the beginning of something even bigger, which is crazy.
Even better. It's awesome. And just all the different artwork is just so fun because they put different artists on a different kind of character of Thor.
And you usually hate that.
I do. I really hate that, especially because it's like they get this main story going and then they jump to this B story that isn't so exciting. But this is so well done and so beautiful that it's and it all threads together. And I say threads because that's also kind of part of this comic.
Yes, it is. So but, wait, let's talk about that for a second. So the idea of the book is that Malekith, the dark elf, has been building a War of the Realms for a while. And to really kick things off, he's decided to kill the Fates.
Yeah.
He decides he wants to kill the Norns, get rid of them so that his fate becomes his own. Nobody else can control it. Nobody else could affect it.
Which and you can relate to.
Yeah. And it's up to the unworthy Thor, who we usually know as Thor, to stop him, or at least try to stop him. Right. So the framing for the story is the Norns telling, spoiler alert, their last story ever by weaving together all of the different Thors, everybody from Jane Foster to the Odin son to Frog Thor.
Yeah. Ooh, I love.
That was great. That was a great Throg story in there.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's the whole history, not just of Jason Aaron's Thor, but Thor in total. And
yeah.
It's very emotionally affecting. It's very funny. And it's one of the things that the Norns say about a quarter of way into the book is one thing that connects every Thor story is they're epic. And this comic book is epic.
Oh, man, so epic. Yeah, I just was really impressed with how everything tied in. And I was super happy that the artist from Headlopper, who I love that book. It also got some art in there talking about Loki.
Yeah, you get to do the Loki pages, right? And I don't want to spoil anything, but a lot of lopping goes on those pages.
Oh, man.
Can I mention my favorite joke in the entire book?
Please.
So one of the things that happened with Jane Foster is she ends up fighting the new She-Hulk,
right?
Who's still Jennifer Walters, Hulk, but a different take on the Hulk. And she's, to your point, trying to convince the Hulk to calm down versus just beating the shit out of her like Thor normally would. Yeah. And she says, hey, could you do, and then she thinks, what's the opposite of Hulk out? And she says, Hulk in. Which, I don't know, it's funny, it's, for as a longtime comic book reader, it's always very enjoyable when I hear a comic book joke that I have not heard before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's my whole statement.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny little bit. I really enjoyed the Frog Thor, which normally isn't my favorite, but this is kind of really well done, and I thought it was a great use of Frog Thor.
Yes, well, as one of the writers of Throg in the past, I think they really captured the character.
Yay. Anyways, yeah, I can't say enough. This is such an important pickup. I think Jason Aaron is doing such an amazing job with Thor, and the fact that he got to do 700 is pretty amazing, and it is a great time to be reading Thor right now.
Is it a great time to be reading Batman, though? Batman number 33 from Tom King. Writer guy. I'll look up the artist in a second while you're talking about it, but I feel a little bad that we've been talking about Batman every single issue, but it's been so good.
It's been so epic as well. I mean, there's been so much going on. You got the whole metal thing going on, as well as Batman proposing to Catwoman, and I love the whole Bat-Cat thing. Every time it happens, I'm like, hee, hee, hee.
Oh, it's Joelle Jones. Joelle Jones, pencils, inks, cover, and Jordi Belair is on the interior colors. Okay, there we go. And cover and colors.
This is, you know this when you, get married to somebody, it's the merging of the family. So Batman's off on an epic adventure because he is going to be joining with Catwoman. So they've got to clean up some stuff, you know, they got to get everything lined up so that they can be a amazing couple together.
Yeah. This issue works together some of the best stuff from Batman, which they joke about, and they have fun in this issue, which is great, while Batman and Catwoman are off on this adventure with some characters from not just Nightwing, but what is it? The one where he was in Spiral. Grayson. Grayson, the Grayson. Title. So some characters and themes from there, which is a lot of fun. But yeah, back at the house,
which is great, Alfred, the dog is there too, which made me so happy.
And Alfred and the kids hanging out. And
Alfred breaks the news.
It's great. Their reactions are great. All of the bad kids across the board.
The whole secret bit is hysterical.
It's wonderful.
Like, oh, what? Batman's keeping a secret from us? Yeah, big deal. You know?
Yeah. And there's a twist at the end, which we won't spoil, but it's great. And it makes perfect sense. And it really just ties into everything that's going on in a really wonderful way.
Yeah, and also kind of a scary way.
Oh, yes, a very scary way.
What's going to happen?
Ooh, spookity doo.
I mean, because let's face it. I mean, Batman's had some ladies. He's had some past relationships.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, Zatanna, I was pulling for if anybody was going to get together, I was really hoping it was going to be Batman and Zatanna.
Batanna, you're a Batanna shipper?
Yeah, yeah, that's who I was pulling for.
Oh, nice. Who was I pulling for? Nobody really.
Really?
Yeah, Batman deserves to die alone.
Oh, man. But it is weird because Batman has been such a single kind of... I mean, obviously, he's had the Robins and all that kind of stuff. But, like, you think of Batman by himself. So, but I'm nervous about how the book's going to unfold. But I've been really enjoying the Bat and Cat stuff.
So I very specifically during this issue, and I didn't think about it at all during the previous arc, which was the War of Jokes and Riddles that had Batman telling Catwoman a story about the worst thing he ever did so she understands him before she says yes or no.
Yeah.
I wasn't really thinking about it during that arc or when he proposed, but do you think there's going to be a twist here? Do you think there's going to be... I can't imagine a world where they go all the way through to Batman and Catwoman get married and then that's what the status quo is.
I feel like
there's got to be something there, some horrible...
It seems like there's something set up to kind of stop this marriage.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is I think there's going to be something that's going to pull the rug out from under them at the end, because I'm not saying that they aren't in love, but I do think there's the possibility that somebody's controlling them, or at least Batman. And I do think there's also the possibility that he's playing some sort of greater... game that involves proposing to Catwoman, which would be awful.
That would be fucked up, man.
Yeah,
Batman's done some fucked up shit, but that would be the top of the list of most.
Yeah, but that's what he does, right? He does these horrible plans that are for the greater good that end up destroying every relationship he ever has.
Yeah,
and I could just see a world where we get through to the end of this, and this is one of those things.
Also, like, Alfred takes a call from Superman, which was really cool.
That was great.
Yeah, but also I was like, dude, you gotta fucking tell Superman, man. He's gonna be pissed if he's like the last guy to find out.
He's gonna be the best man.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, you don't think so?
I don't know.
Maybe not in this new 52-ish world, because
I think
he should be. Of course, in the previous continuity.
I really think it should be Alfred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
no, Alfred's
going to
give him away. Is that a thing that you do with men? All right.
Alfred might give Catwoman away, but I don't think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like a cat would give her away, don't you think?
Well, I feel it'd be cool if there was like a cat and dog ring bearer type of thing.
That'd be pretty cool. except, this is going to blow your mind, Batman is not a dog themed superhero.
I know that, but he has a dog.
He has the ears. But he's not a dog. I don't know if you ever noticed that before.
I'm just saying he has a dog now.
Okay.
And I really love that dog.
But if you're going to have a cat and a dog, it implies that one of them is a cat and one of them is a dog. What? And he's a bat. What if they had a cat and a bat?
No.
A bat ring bearer.
No.
A ring batter.
The dog. Anyways, I don't know. That wedding seems like it'll be a crazy event if they go through with it, but I don't know.
I think they'll get up to it. I mean, there's no way that they can't have a wedding issue of Catwoman and Batman, because that's a collector's item right there.
Yeah, but also, like, who's at that thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know Joker's going to be there.
As soon as she said yes, I started picturing the cover for that, because those are my favorite covers. Where,
really?
Yeah, you have the two characters in the middle. Yeah. Did you see the promo for, this is maybe actually a little bit of a spoiler alert, but Flash and Iris getting married on The Flash?
What, dude? What did you just say?
Yeah. Barry and Iris getting married on The Flash.
Oh, dude, I've they started out, the new season, but... Yeah,
so they put out a poster of it, so they're not worried too much. Oh, but man, they made a poster of it because it's part of the four-part superhero crossover of the CW, and evil versions of all the heroes for the CW shows come over from Earth-X to fight them. And it's cute. They made a classic cover of Barry and Iris standing there in their wedding clothes, looking back as the heroes are on both sides of them getting ready to clash in all their costumes. It's pretty cute. I love that stuff. Yeah, I love it. Cool. The Spider-Man issue where Spider-Man and Mary Jane get married.
Deadpool issue was fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe not quite as even, but all right, yeah.
Dude, don't take away that Deadpool issue.
I'm not taking it away. I'm just saying you can't compare it to...
I was very excited about that marriage. It didn't
work
out.
Is that Amazing Spider-Man 300? No. No, 300 was not the wedding. 300 was Venom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know what another exciting anniversary is?
What?
December 25th, because that's the birth of Christ, but that's not what we're talking about. Instead, we're talking about December number 25.
There we go.
Which is very different.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. This is actually kicking off an event in the comic book called The Rise of the Robots. Is that what it is?
I don't know, but I want to talk about how beautiful that comic is.
It is.
Those Rise panels are like... I'm sorry, I cut you off. What was it?
No, it's Rise of the Robots in issue 25, written by Jeff Lemire. Art is by Dustin Nguyen.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. Like, this is like each panel is a painting. It's really fantastic. And they took a chance on some of it because it's like... It's light. It doesn't feel like a superhero comic. It doesn't feel...
You've read this book before, right?
Descender? No.
Oh, well, really?
I'm sure I have. I don't really remember much.
Okay, we've talked about it on the show a couple of times.
Well, then I have.
Maybe.
No. If we talk about it, I've read it.
I don't know. Occasionally.
What?
I don't want to get into a fight.
Yeah,
right,
please
now,
don't.
Boy, we really need Justin, our buffer zone. keeps
this
us both calm.
The first time you've realized we've ever needed Justin.
So
this comic is gorgeous, is what I wanted to reiterate.
Yes, it's so been like beautiful. That since the beginning. It has sort of a color wash, watercolor feel to it through the art. The idea of the book, if you haven't read it, it's very Battlestar Galactica-ish, where years ago, these enormous robots called Harvesters attacked all of the known worlds, nearly wiped out humanity. They fought them back. The Harvesters left. Nobody knows why. And years later, a young robot named Tim 21 wakes up on a moon, and it turns out he has something similar in his software, perhaps his hardware, to the Harvesters. And it begins this galaxy-wide search, epic journey to find Tim 21, chase him down, find out what's going on with the Harvesters. And finally, this issue, which is huge, we get a taste that the Harvesters are not actually gone because Tim connects with them, and it's awesome. So beyond the beautiful art, for people who have been reading the comic book for the past 24 issues before this, there's some incredible payoffs here, and it's really... This has not been light on the sci-fi action, this book, but this feels bigger. Like, there's a reason there's a name at the top, Rise of the Robots. It feels epic. It feels action movie-ish. It's bigger than it's ever been before.
Awesome. Yeah, I remember now that you explained it, I remember that book. But yeah, it didn't feel like such a big event, which is good. It builds. And this, like you said, this issue is a huge payoff. And I'm now going to be picking this up every issue.
Awesome. All right. Very cool. I'm glad I could sell you. Hope we could sell you guys on our live show, which happens every Tuesday at 8 p.m. at the Pit Loft in New York. It's totally free. You can come on by. We'll talk about comic books that came out a week and a half ago or so, something like that, a week ago-ish. We have live guests, give away prizes, and as I mentioned, totally free, so please come on by. Also, we'll just mention, maybe we can mention this on our live show as well, but thank you to all of the longtime fans who have been coming by our live show and saying hello.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened with the critical mass of that the past couple of weeks, but there's been folks who happen to be in town and come by the show and tell us,
San
hey,
Diego,
we've been...
we had last week, and then England.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, yeah, so it was so cool.
Thank you, guys. You have no idea how much it means to us to have people come by and say, hey, I've been watching you guys since the Stack days or anything like that. It's awesome.
It was really cool because the one guy was like, can we all say speed round together? And I completely forgot about that.
Exactly.
Bit. And we were all like, speed round. So that was really fun.
Yeah. So part of the reason that, not to leave this at the end of the podcast, but part of the reason that we do this podcast, this Wednesday podcast, and started doing it is because we miss doing that stuff for you guys and with you guys. So we're aiming to do more and we're aiming to stretch out. Hopefully tell your friends about the podcast, spread the word about it. We appreciate every single little bit because you guys are awesome.
Thanks.
And if you want to support it financially, patreon.com/comicbookclub. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I need to feed my children.
We don't use that money for children.
Yeah, I give it to my children and they buy diamonds.
No, it goes to the show.
Merry Christmas.